John, tag, you're supposed to run after me after I touch you. You can't. That's not how tag works, the way you're playing.
It's a regional thing. I'm playing Midwestern rules.
Oh, I should have known that. Okay, yeah. My bad. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, speaking of, Dave, you know, with Memorial Day coming up,
I'm guessing you're
probably getting ready for plenty of fun days in the sun.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I right?
First, I have to learn these rules for tag. But, yes, everyone knows this, John. Everyone knows that time in the sun is best enjoyed with a pair of shades that you don't have to baby.
Oh, yeah.
Knockaround is the original affordable sunglasses company, and they've got just what you need for Memorial Day weekend, MDW, for those of us who celebrate all year, and all the way through summertime.
They do. And with over 20 different frame styles, there's something for the whole family, including tons for kids.
So, whether you're looking to rock a pair of red, white, and blue shades for the big weekend, or just to restock your collection before summer gets here, Knockaround has you covered.
Now, Dave.
Yeah.
Did you know that all their lenses have UV 400 protection, which is basically like sunscreen for your eyeballs?
Oh, man. And I've put copper tone just right on the old ojos, and it burns. It is burning still to this day.
Yeah, well, you keep putting it on.
Well, it's a habit. With polarized adult pairs starting at $28, you can get a few pairs to leave in your car, toss in your beach bag, or lend to a friend in need.
You know, Dave, where I come from, Memorial Day weekend means it's race day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
oh,
there's no more important place to have some shades than outside at the track.
Oh, yeah.
If you've heard me say that once, you've heard me say that a million
it's
times.
It's on your front yard.
I think I might actually just buy a pair of Knockarounds in that color.
Yeah.
Like in the color of each car, actually.
Yeah.
And it's switching back and forth based on who's leading the race.
Love that. That's one of the best ideas you've ever had.
So listen, Dadville fans, take that idea and run with it. Also, don't be the one squinting through family beach days or trips to the park. Go to knockaround.com and use the promo code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com.
I just said that.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Walker Hayes.
Dave.
John. Oh, my gosh. Jeez,
oh,
sorry.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
You okay?
Yeah, you scared me. I couldn't recognize you.
Yeah. Well, I'm wearing two masks.
Well, I was going to say, this is a tricky one. Yeah. Me knocking on your door, I should have known it was going to be you that answered.
Sure. It always is.
It is. It always is. That's on me.
Now that you're here, though, I'm going to ask you to leave. But before that,
okay.
Question. What's the most awesome fair snack you've ever tried?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, I know there's a lot of crazy ones out there.
Oh, boy, are there.
Got to stick with my home state of Mississippi, Hail State out there, on this one, and say the free hot fluffy biscuits. It's a tradition. The biscuit booth, you get in line for your free biscuit, and it's always worth the wait.
I didn't know they gave out biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's in the name.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That would have been helpful when I was looking for houses years ago. All right. You know, I like the simple route. I like that. And I'm going to go with the roasted corn on the cob from the Indiana State Fair.
You're going to shout it out.
Yep. Nobody does it better.
Okay.
I was listening to the snack show, with Jamie and Fallon,
Jana.
Good friends of ours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they did an entire podcast on fair snacks. I'm not going to spoil what their favorites were for you, but it was good.
Okay.
It was a good episode.
Sounds like quite the affair.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Jamie and Fallon, as we call them, J&F, are the best snack analysts. This is just in the biz.
Yeah.
In the biz. Nobody.
It's just kind of known.
If you go, you can travel to Anchorage, Alaska and say, who are the best snack analysts? And they're going to say Jamie and Fallon.
Yeah, Jamie
now, I can't totally substantiate that claim, but it feels right when I say it.
Yeah.
They usually disagree on which ones. That keeps us interested, and they love to laugh almost as much as they love snacks.
That's right. Now, Jamie Crockett is a displaced West Coast girl living in Nashville, all landlocked.
Yep.
She enjoys a random pop culture trivia,
she does, like the
rest of us.
Yeah.
All things snacks and beverages, and a good sleuthing mystery to solve.
Yeah, listen. Fallon Klug, okay, is a Midwest girl making her way in the South by the way of New York City.
Mm.
The way to her heart is back scratches, leftovers, and snacks.
Okay? That's right.
Okay.
New 30-minute episodes of The Snack Show are released every Friday. Oreos, gluten-free, holiday snacks, fair snacks,
yes.
You name it, they're talking about it.
So listen and subscribe to The Snack Show podcast today. Okay, folks, this is, listen, this is, you're here with us on Dadville, and today we have Walker Hayes, who, I'm going to tell y'all, you can't see him, we get that, that's our honor, but he's coming in smoking hot with the
Look,
with
I want to say, if you're looking for a mustache and a jawline, you've come to the right podcast. Good Lord.
Y'all like, do you really appreciate the stat? I don't quite know how to groom it. Yeah.
No, you don't need to. Look at it's a wild forest.
Thing about mustaches, you don't have to groom them.
There's a tiny unicorn that lives in that thing. Okay? It's just
I should do. I need to do that. Start just pulling random stuff every day for the fans.
And you give them away.
Put them in little baggies
on the front row.
Mail them out.
For you. Yeah. Hey, buddy, this is for you.
Send them out to people. I've loved the stash, man. It's fun.
Well, you know, it's funny. So last night, our friend, well, two friends, Jeff Venable, who's a director here in town, video director, who's awesome, and our friend Matt Wirtz, we were all hanging last night. Both of them have stashes, like respectable stashes.
Yeah.
And I had the thought to myself, Venable was saying this, Jeff was like, you know, at first it was like a thing, and then I sort of looked up and it was like, I've had this thing for like months now, and it's kind of gone past a thing. And I was like, this answers the question I've always had, which is like, when you look at pictures of your dad and you're like, he had like a stash for a while.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did he get there? And you're like, this is exactly how he got there. This is what happened.
Just one day he was messing around. He's got a board in life. And then he was in his low 40s and he was like, I need some excitement. Kids, I'm about to shave this off.
Yeah. See, I don't know, guy. I'm going to push back on this. Funny. I think back in our dad's day, it was just like, if you didn't have one, other guys were like, hey, where's your mustache? What's going on? What's going on
don't
at home?
Come back don't, here. Have, yeah, don't come back here.
Don't
until
you
have,
come back here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first day I went to the gym with this mustache. Kid I know, he's in high school. He plays basketball in Tullahoma. And he was like, man, you look like a PE coach from like an old movie. I was like,
you're like,
I was
one,
like that's exactly what I was
doing. You shut your mouth
for.
Too. Thank you so much.
Yes. I was like, so Uncle Rico responses. Is what you're telling me.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Dude, Uncle Rico. Shout out to Uncle Rico. Okay, so Walker is with us. We're excited about having you here, Walker. This has been a long time coming. We do what's called the brag sheet. So this is a little bit of like, this is your life. So buckle up. First of all, I got to say this, dude. I haven't seen you in a long time, but I've known you. We wrote once in like 1987, it feels like.
I'm sorry.
Dude, is like we wrote at this random place on Music Row that was like this little weird kind of hut house.
The Shack.
I
know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And like, I remember we kicked it and it was, I remember, you know, being intimidated by your aura, your handsomeness, what
right.
I knew would be eventually a stash, but it wasn't there yet.
I was working on it.
We all were. But so it's funny because I've known you forever. But I don't see much of you, but it's funny. I was like, dude, I think we literally wrote, it probably was like 2008. Like it was back in the day.
Yeah.
I think it may have been like my first or second ever write on Music Row was with you.
Well, you are, I think everybody has this human, and it's the guy that every single human you meet is like, you need to hang with this guy. You know what I'm saying? Where it happens to an annoying point where you're like, I know what you're about to say. You're about to say Dave Barnes. You're about to tell me how funny he is. And we would have such a good time. And you're like, and I would love him. I know.
You're like, guys, I test drove him in 2008. It wasn't happening. It just wasn't there.
But it really is. You are, I swear, man. If I had a guy just like that guy where you're like, I know you know it, like people make a face and they're about to say something and you're like,
you can feel
I
it
know
coming.
It's coming. It's
like,
Dave
you're
Barnes.
Like, Mom, I know why you called me.
Mom. I just want you to,
you can have like three or four of those.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, well, I got to meet this guy.
Yeah.
Once you hit five, six,
seven,
you're mad. Then you're like,
mad.
I don't like
this. I hate this guy.
Well, it is. And I'm definitely, I mean, y'all could probably relate. I'm the guy that like, dude, if you tell me how good the movie is, if too many people tell me.
Yeah, right. You're out.
No, I'm not following that herd. And I wasn't like that about you, but that's how I've known you. I mean, literally, yeah, like, it's like the second day I got here, somebody was like, you need to meet Dave Barnes. He's amazing. And here we are 20 years later.
Yeah, it's fun. It's all been building to this.
It has.
That's what makes it so sweet.
I have listened to your stuff and I've actually watched some of your comedy stuff. I mean, you're awesome, but dude, I'm glad to be here. And I'm talking about a brag, dude. I don't have.
Wait,
a brag.
You got to let me read it though. This is the problem, Walker. You got to be
brag,
quiet and let me read
it's a brag index card or a brag fortune cookie.
Hey, it's still paper. You
it's
know what
got
I mean?
One it's, song
to an infinite,
it.
It's huge. To an infinite, feels massive.
Okay,
so here we go. Released first single Pants in 2010, appeared on an episode of 19 Kids Accounting. I didn't know that. Album Reason to Rhyme was released in 2011. Boom was 2017. Country Stuff, the album, was 2022. You Broke Up With Me, which was a monster smash, first hit single, went double platinum. Nominated for Grammy in 2022 for Fancy Like. Won the Billboard Music Award for Top Country Song in 2022 for Fancy Like. Fancy Like has gone 6 times platinum. Good gracious. In 2020, this is really great also. In 2022, released his book, Glad You're Here, Two Unlikely Friends Breaking Bread and Fences with Craig Allen Cooper. Which, by the way, Annie Downs told us about, like, because Annie's a dear friend of ours. And she loves her podcast. She does so many of them. But I remember her coming over one afternoon and we were like, hey, how's your day? She's like, I just had the best podcast with Walker Hayes.
Oh.
And Craig, and we talked about it. Which was notable to me because, again, she does 50 million of these things. But that was like one day she came in and she was like, no, it was, you guys got to read the book. It's great. And so then us even being enemies, I was like, we should probably have him on. we're so glad you're on, man. Thanks for doing this.
Dude, thank y'all. Thanks for having me.
Can I kick things off with my first question here?
Kick it,
Johnny.
Because I read that you...
Kick it.
You grew up with 8 siblings, right? Tell me if I've got this right. So you grew up in a house where your mom had 4.
Right.
She brought 4 in. Your dad brought 4 in.
Yeah.
And then they had you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's real info on the internet. Yeah.
I mean, that what an interesting upbringing,
dude,
right?
To
have that many siblings. But B to
does
to
that
have,
make you like the chosen one?
Right?
Like, are you the thing they've been working
on? What's the dynamic
all that
time? I
will tell you some of my siblings resent me, you know, as if I was, you know, because they're much older, older, you know, they weren't all in the house, you know, obviously.
Oh yeah,
and so
wait, even so, when you were born, were there some that had already left the house?
There were 3 in the house when I was very,
oh, wow,
very young. So including me, 4. And then quickly,
jeez,
there were just 3. And then there was just me and a brother named Brian. And man, you know, I have a lot of it's crazy. We're all over the map. A lot of us have struggled with you know, addiction type of thing. I mean, it was it was a crazy household. And each family, as all family has stuff, you know, they brought different stuff into the family and went left, you know, and yeah, man, I mean, it was such an interesting dynamic. I kind of feel like an only child of, honestly, I feel like I kind of was raised by grandparents, if that makes any sense. You know,
wow.
my parents were well in their 40s when they had me. And so, you know, dude, I mean, we would go to restaurants and my dad had this huge white Uncle Sam beard and people would be like, ah, you're having dinner with your granddad. And I'd be like, nah, you know, that's homeboy's my dad. And he did this. And,
he did this,
but you know, it was, man, I had some good times. I had some bad times, you know, though it was, my dad was a retired music minister and dove into real estate. Literally like right when I was born. And so I don't remember him as a music minister, but I remember him working all the time. You know, he sold houses and he loved it. And that was his, you know, dude, I'm 43. So I'm feeling that like temptation find that identity I can control, you know, within work right. or whatever it is, you know, and because you can't control your family or your wife or what, you know, and
you can and, try, but
yeah, you could try, but you will fail. But the and you won't get the applause or affirmation you need. we can talk about that later. But yeah, anyway, honestly, it's I'm still trying to figure out that, you know, what was going on, you know, growing mm-hmm. up, and was I, you know, what am I an only child? You know, my siblings are half. I get along with a few of them. I try to talk to all of them, you know, as much as I can.
How old is the oldest one?
My oldest sibling is, I'm going to guess, 68. His name Jeez is Ricky. Louise. Yeah. And,
that's crazy. That is a huge spread.
Oh, big gap. Yeah. And yeah. So, you know, when you're sitting around at Thanksgiving and like, I've got a Teddy Rupskin and he's got a wife. I'm like, hey man, you want, how's your portfolio? You know, I'm like, I don't know. I don't really know what to chat God. About.
I've got Dude, a Teddy Rupskin and he's got a wife.
Well, this is, we've done 150 episodes or something like that, and finally Teddy Ruxpin has come
It does,
up.
Yeah. He's like smoking a dart on the front porch, just, yeah, tell me about the, what, are you in Transformers? What are you doing?
Man, I wanted a Teddy Ruxpin so bad.
It was just an unique, it was, I honestly, my wife and I, we talk about it all the time. We just, I kind of mm-hmm. look back together. I met her when I was 17, so I wasn't that far removed from just whatever that was, but it was, man, it was awesome, and it was weird.
You know, and it was Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, Mobile, yeah. Alabama. It's funny. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I don't think you realize this when you're a kid, if like your dad doesn't travel or whatever. But I don't think I went further than like 3 miles for 18 years. You know what I mean? Like Lainey lived a mile away. My church was legitimately across the street, and the library, and then there was the school, and it was like that. I walked to some friend's house, and the Colonel Dixie. It was like, so it wasn't like Colonel small town Dixie. Like here goes a tractor, but it was like I just didn't go far, you know.
Okay. She's originally from Eastern Pennsylvania, and she grew up a Philly fan.
Okay.
And who did Kansas City beat for the championship last season?
Philly.
Philly, exactly. So she's dating him to distract him. She's going to help Philly win it all this year.
I disagree. I disagree. I think she's dating him so she can study the inner workings of the league as a whole, you know? And in a few more years, she's going to own every single team stadium.
Okay.
She'll perform 10 concerts a year in every one of them.
Okay.
And all the parking, facility fees, popcorn sales, all be hers, right?
Yeah, okay.
And then she's going to build a new civilization on the moon
where friendship bracelets are the only currency and her lyrics the only words spoken. We obviously need a break, John. It's time for some coffee.
We were in deep.
Yeah.
Oh, coffee. Did you say coffee?
I did.
Well, Dave, today's episode and my morning cup of Joe every morning is brought to you by, let's sing it together, okay?
Methodical Coffee has craft coffee and tea for people of all kinds, John. Roasted, blended, brewed, served, and perfected by verified coffee and tea nerds like my friend Johnny over there.
That's exactly right, Dave. And Methodical, it's not just the name of their business.
Nope.
It's their approach to everything. Methodical's been roasting and hosting for over 8 years and offers a wide selection of coffees and teas that are complex yet easygoing, like my buddy Dave Barnes over here.
DaveBarnes.com. But the best of Methodical's coffees is our signature Dadville blend.
That's right. Dave, the Dadville blend, it's the fuel that gets me going every morning.
Okay.
Filled with hints of chocolate, graham, brown sugar.
Yeah, and if you go to methodicalcoffee.com/Dadville, it takes you right to the Dadville signature blend.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you start to forget to enter our discount code.
Don't you dare. You visit methodicalcoffee.com for more information and use the discount code DADVILLE for 10% off your first order. That's methodicalcoffee.com and use the discount code DADVILLE. So we're on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
On the way up that first hill, I hear the lady in front of me saying that she felt like sick to her stomach.
Oh, no.
Right.
No.
Then
a few
seconds later, we're screaming down the first hill.
Don't tell me, John. Don't tell me.
Yeah. It was horrible.
No, what happened to you?
Look, let's just say if I didn't have incredible world-class reflexes that you know I have, I'm doing them right now, right?
Wow.
I would have been in big trouble.
Yeah. That's why everyone should always carry a relief band. John.
Always. Relief band could have saved the day for that lady and for my reflexes.
Well, can I tell you something that's a fun fact?
Please.
This podcast is sponsored by Relief Band.
Yes.
Have you ever had to pull over because someone was car sick? Or maybe someone in your family wants to skip school or work because they're nauseous?
If that sounds familiar, you need a Relief Band. The number one anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and effectively prevents nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more.
Relief Band is natural, fast-acting, and will last as long as you need it. It's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and has zero side effects.
Now, Dave, you know that I'm very conscious about what I put in my body, right?
Yeah, so not so much what you put on it, ironically.
And on it. So I love that I don't need to take any pills for Relief Band to work its magic.
That's right.
I use Relief Band when I get nauseous on planes, cars, pretty much anytime I feel it coming on.
Sometimes I put it on when I'm walking over. Relief Band has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and has over 100,000 satisfied customers, so they are a brand you can trust. And Relief Band makes a great gift for the nauseous sufferer in your life.
So if you always have a flashlight on hand for a blackout or a first aid kit on hand for emergencies, then you need a Relief Band for those unexpected nausea moments.
Right now, we've got an exclusive offer for Dadville listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code Dadville, you'll receive 20% off. But plus, John, plus free shipping.
That's insane.
We don't ask for what they give us, but they give it to us.
They just keep giving it. So head to reliefband.com. That's reliefband.com and use our promo code Dadville for 20% off plus free shipping.
You know, it's funny living in Nashville as we all do, and now there's like, you know, multi-million-dollar homes in these like planned and curated neighborhoods.
Yeah,
to have what you're describing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's like it's all right here
to create the town.
Just scrape together $6 million, and you can have it.
Yeah. Scrape together. If you can just jump together.
Yeah,
an easy $6 million.
It's interesting that you. I have noted here that I wanted to ask about. When your dad really encouraged you into music.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he was a music minister. So that adds a whole other layer to it, that he had this music background.
Yeah.
That, as you said, like when you came along, for whatever reason, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was he felt like he needed more financial security. I don't know what, but he dives into real estate. And then the two of you are working together, right? At the time that he pushed you into music.
Yes, sir. I mean, I had gone on that collegiate, like, major change, job change, you know, what are you going to finish with a degree in? Like, what are you going to do with your life thing?
Where were you at school, by the way?
I finished up at UNC. I got a degree in music from Birmingham Southern. And
I didn't know that.
Emphasis on piano, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. I didn't know that, Walker.
I mean, that was 20 years ago, and I don't even. I have not read a piece of music since then. So,
but hold on. Like, I feel like we have to pause for a second because this is very uncommon for this town. If I went to Music Row and had a mic and everybody that walked out of a building that's a songwriter or an artist. Hey, like, what's your pedigree? I mean, 99.8% are going to be like, oh, dude, I just started writing in high school. There's not going to be some sense of like, oh, I actually kind of know what I'm doing.
No.
You can learn how to do it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Did you feel like your emphasis on piano degree was something you had to hide from Nashville when you got here?
Yeah, I was in bed. I was like, man, only charts.
Walker, you play piano? No, yeah, I don't. I don't even see pianos.
What? Never. Yeah.
So have you seen that? I mean, obviously that's been helpful, right? I mean,
well, I mean, here's I did the classical thing, man. I mean, my sophomore year, I didn't know what I was majoring in. I took a piano class, And I had, you know, I had messed around growing up a lot, you know, and my dad had taught me just some basic stuff. And so I kind of took a recharge class with this incredible professor named William Devan. And dude, we just hit it. We hit it all. I know he's a stud. And so I just changed my major, but I went to UNC to finish my pre-dental requisites, believe it or not. So yeah, I know. What if I walked in and was
We're
like,
all over
open
the
your
place,
mouth,
man.
You know? And, I was lost, you know, all my friends, my three best friends, from high school to this day, they're all one's like an ENT surgeon, two are dentists. And so I was feeling super insecure with my life choices. So I was like, dude, I'll go take this DAT and be rich. It'll be awesome. You know, I'll be amazing. And, so I go and I shadow this oral surgeon and I shadowed this guy. And listen, this guy, he has so much money, and his like wife and his daughter, like they're all beautiful, but he is legit the saddest, most unhappy human I have ever. I mean, this dude never, he just literally talks like this, like the whole time, you know? And so I was like, man, I don't want to be this guy. So
even at that age, you were like, you onboarded that. You were like, oh, look at this guy.
Oh yeah.
This is not
I mean, totally.
Wow.
I went to work with this guy for a month and what he did was kind of cool, but like literally his favorite thing in life was like this machine where you could, you know, put implants and pictures of people and make their jaw and their face, you know, and he was like, isn't that awesome? This is amazing. You know? And
that's
I was like, I was like, this guy is lame. You know, I was like, this guy is so sad. And he's got to do this for like 20 more years of his life.
Yeah.
And so it just didn't make sense. Like the sacrifice for the life that honestly he had all his money and stuff, but he never got to use it. He was always at this computer. Like, and so I went home and my wife and I, we have a cool love story, but that's kind of going on. And when I went home,
so are you married then?
No, I went back to Mobile. Okay. And I got my real estate license, and I worked with my dad for a year, just trying to make money, you know, pay rent.
So it's a classic case of music into dentistry into real estate.
Yeah, you know,
just a well-worn path.
It's a formula, you know. You have it's X plus Y, you know, equals real estate. Yeah, but guys, I didn't make any sense. I was just trying, you know. I was just trying to stick out and fit in and all, just matter. And, in the meantime, you know, Lainey and I, we were always on and off again. And I knew I needed some stability. And it, honestly, it was like, dude, I know I could come home and I could sell a house. And I had grown up in the back seat, you know, in my dad's car showing houses and stuff. Yeah. And look, I can talk, just hang with somebody until they decide to buy a home. So I was like, whatever. And honestly, I didn't hate it. It was a fun game. It was kind of addicting, honestly. You know, once you close one of those puppies, you're like, dude, let's do that again. Yeah.
I imagine that your dad was loving it. I mean, I'm just thinking of like, if my daughters grow up and we get to do anything together.
Yes.
I'm like, that's the dream.
Huh. I mean, honestly, and that, as you say that, I feel a little bit of a sting because what my dad did, you know, when he encouraged me to play music, I don't think he knew, but that's what I sacrificed. Like if anybody's like, hey, what'd you sacrifice? You know, to do what you do, it's really precious moments that I would have enjoyed. You know, I would have enjoyed working with my, we had a very like super competitive relationship and I love that. You know, that's my favorite, you know, is like, and that's my relationship with my kids. It's like, you can't throw this ball in that cup, you know? I mean, and that's what we do. That's how we say, I love you. You know, it's like, I'm about to beat you. And again, and again, and again. And so we were doing that. We did that with real estate. But one dude, this is crazy. I mean, y'all, this sounds nuts, but one night my dad called me from this bar in Mobile, and he just was like, he said, I heard you playing your guitar the other day. And all I did, I mean, I literally knew like three chords on the guitar, and my fingers still, this was like fingers still wouldn't like fully get to the G thing, you know? And he was like, you need to play at this bar. And he was on his cell phone, and I could hear this lady, her name was Trudy, and she was the bar manager. And he was like, I know, Trudy. And he said, Trudy said you could play here on Friday night.
Oh,
and,
dang.
And man, I was furious. I was like, Dad, you don't get it. I was like, I don't just pick up the guitar. I was like, dude, I don't even know what to plug it into. Like, I've never even EQ, I don't even know how to make it sound good in a box with the speaker. You know, I knew nothing. And he was like, nah, she said you could, you know, come and just play the same few songs over and over. It's going to be awesome. It'll be fun. And you guys, I did the gig. I remember, I was so mad at my dad. I was like, look, dude, I'm getting kind of old. Like, I'm not like drive me to Little League practice, force me to get on the field with my helmet. You know what I mean? I was like,
yeah.
I was like, I'm engaged. I got a wife, you know, I got in-laws that probably want me to buckle down and make a little sense now.
Yeah.
And man, I did that gig. And I remember Trudy. I remember Trudy put her tray under her arm, and every time I finished a song, she clapped, and then it was like dominoes of five people, you know.
And
I was playing from a notebook. I had like a notebook with the words in it.
Uh-huh. So is it only originals?
No. Okay, no, I never. I didn't know.
What would have been a couple of songs in that repertoire?
Why Georgia? Little Why Georgia.
Oh, look at you. Okay.
That's not an easy one.
Well, I was faking it. That was the hardest one. And then little Dobie Gray.
Come on.
Let's see.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, also Shirley. Always Saint. This is kind of cool. Is there's a song by Eric Clapton called Promises. And I still sing, me and my daughter sing that every night and together. But man, they were just those old, like June Buffett, Margaritaville. Yeah. You know, that's a Mobile staple. But you guys, I just fumbled through this gig, and I fell in freaking love. I was like, this is amazing. Wow. They gave me two. I remember I got two free Michelob Ultras because nobody drank those at that place. They're like, we got a ton of these. And I was like, I'll take
them.
These
have been here since April.
It
so
was.
You can have them.
It had, you know, the whole Lance Armstrong ad hadn't happened or whatever, but they gave me two free Michelob Ultras. And I remember getting on my Nokia on the way home, and I called, I mean, this is crazy. I called Lainey, and I was like, hey, I think, you know, I was like, let's move to Nashville, and I'm just going to sing, you know. It sounds so stupid. I mean, there was no like promise from that gig. There was no like label exec in the crowd who was like, dude, you really need to think about moving to Nashville. And then the next week, Lainey lived in Birmingham, and the next week I had dinner with her parents just by herself in Mobile. And I told them, I was like, y'all are about to laugh at me, but we're going to move to Nashville. We're not going to stay in Mobile. And man, you look like they were looking at a UFO flying in their backyard. I mean, they were like, why on earth? I remember her dad said, do you sing in front of people? And I was like, not yet. I was like, but I'm going, you know, I was like, that's what we're going to do.
I love that so much.
I know.
That's a very practical question.
It was the most practical. It was legit. Like, do you know how?
Dadville is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Dave, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt like you knew what was good for you, but your brain was just getting in the way?
I know exactly what you mean. I remember a time when I kept thinking, this is what I should be doing. Mm-hmm. I know this is what's best for me and my family, but something is just holding me back.
Yeah, I've been there too. I think most of us have. Yeah. You know, one great way to make those difficult thoughts go away is to talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that, so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and start improving.
You couldn't be more right, John. Therapy is so helpful. It teaches coping skills, helps you set boundaries, empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and so many other things.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Dadville today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Dadville.
Dave. John, we all love summer, and our kids especially love summer, but we lose that consistent schedule of when kids are in school, and that can create some summer childcare problems.
You know what? Thankfully, though, Dave, there's a solution.
What?
Windy. That's W-Y-N-D-Y. Listen, it's an app that connects families to college student nannies literally in minutes. These nannies are background checked, interviewed, and honestly, just awesome, Dave.
That's right, John. And Windy has been around for 7 years and has been used by over 20,000 families. There are hundreds of qualified college student nannies on Windy near you, working full or part-time.
All you have to do is go to windy.com/dadville to start searching for a nanny. And as a special offer, they're going to knock off $50 off your search if you go through that link. Windy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies and no ongoing fees.
Okay, so here's how it works. Go to windy.com/dadville to start your search. A Windy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. You can choose the one you like.
Get started now, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summer.
That's right.
Go to wyndy.com/dadville.
That's like one. That's like one question away from him going, "Okay, would you just grab a guitar and play something for us right now?
Just
as a quick test drive."
Yeah. Pretty much. Which I'm
you know
sure
the way that you write that in the book, the way that you describe the gig.
Oh yeah.
It's such a great illustration for I think what is required in the music business.
A thousand percent.
Like it's like marriage. Like the people who are married in 40 years. And the people who are in the music business in 40 years are the people who just have to be married to that person or have to do music.
Yeah.
Because the way you describe the scene, you do a great job of writing it out and like describing all the room and the slow clap and it's painful.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you're like, and I was hooked.
And that's the thing. Right. That's the thing, isn't it? Is it like any bystanders in there, they're like, we should buy the kid a drink. What a rough night. And then like you just are
even a Michelob Ultra would help the situation.
Just go get one from the back. Get one from Trudy. But it's like, you know, but when you've got it in you, you get that little taste and you are like, oh my gosh.
I know.
It makes you move to Nashville. So did y'all get married after your move here?
No. So I sold real estate, and then as we were creeping up on the wedding date, we came up and found an apartment and stuff. So we legitimately drove, you know, our stuff from our wedding to the apartment we picked out. I remember I came up to Nashville two times, and we found a little apartment, and I mean, it was a blast. I mean, it was a blast, but it was hard. You know, we didn't know anybody. Same, this is like the formula. We moved here and we didn't know anybody. So just started learning this about who you know, and trying to make friends organically, you know, which is hard. You know, everybody was telling me about this Dave Barnes guy, and I was like, I'm tired of hearing about this Dave Barnes guy.
He has the keys to the kingdom.
Man, we just, I don't know, man. Lainey and I are, we're not great. Like, y'all ever go to a job, you know, and somebody be like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I don't know about y'all, but in my brain, I'm like, that's legit the stupidest question. Like, yeah, I don't know. I haven't been there yet. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, yeah. A lot can happen, you know, especially this business, you guys, like the day can change. You know, I can wake up depressed. Totally. I'm like, I need drugs to get through life. But then by noon, I've written the best chorus of my life. And I'm like, dude, I am freaking Paul McCartney, you know? And and it changes. And so we just came here and just, again, I appreciate that description of what you have to, you just love, you're just like, this is what I want to do. I don't care if I'm homeless and we got 100 kids and we live in the back of an alley, you know, you're just like, this is just, I just love this. I love this life, you know, and it helped that we were, it was good for us to get out of, you know, the Truman Show, if you will, where we grew up, where nobody does this, you know, and because it's fun to come to Nashville because there's kindred spirits. None of us make sense here, you know? And so, so it was a little easier to just fail in some aspects of life, according to my hometown or my family. And Lainey was like, Lainey is the happiest human. There's just so many times where I'm like, you sure you don't mean make some more money, or are you sure you don't want to have another kid? Cause I don't know if we can pay for it, you know? And she's like, it'll work out. You know, she's just one of those people. And, we just had an adventure, and it's not honestly, man. I mean, a lot of it's funny doing these, like a podcast with y'all. I mean, guys, 4 years ago, nobody would want parenting advice from me. I mean, I was 4 years ago, we were coming home with a donut on our Nissan from Chuck E. Cheese with probably every disease you kids can imagine we have, you know, and I hadn't had a show in 400 days, you know, and I didn't know what we were going to do, you know,
it proves your point so well from earlier, Walker. Like you said this a second ago, like coming here, you just don't know what can happen.
No.
And I mean, I think your career is such an amazing example of that because, you know, I know you got signed early on. Or, I mean, how long had you been here when you got signed?
I had a job as a booking agent. I actually got a cool job booking motivational speakers for a year.
Oh, wow.
And then I got fired. I got fired. And then then I got a publishing deal, which was insane. You know, Landon, you get to call home and say, guess what I get paid to do? You know, you're like, write songs on a notebook. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, it was 2 years I got a pub deal. It's about 3 years I got my first record deal. But, man, that introduced me to, like, the pretty rough business side. I actually got dropped because of a kind of a label head. So this guy named James Stroud and Luke Lewis, I think, was they split up at Mercury. Mm-hmm. And I literally got called by my A&R girl, Allison Jones, and she was like, I'm in the parking lot with a box of my things. You don't have a deal anymore. And it was like, whoa. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. That was fast. You know, that was three years in. And then, but I still had a publisher, you know, honestly, that didn't like, I just love the writing more anyway. And so, I was like, I'm good. And then I got picked up by Capitol about 5 years in, and that being dropped from there that's when it began to get bad. You know, we're 7-8 years in. I get dropped by Capitol. It was kind of one of those, man, I'm sick of this label. I would love to not be restricted by this label. And then you get dropped and you're like, what do I do now?
And restriction wasn't really all that bad,
right. You're like, it's like, man, I think I would appreciate those gold handcuffs. But that's when, I mean, you know, we continue to have kids again, that it didn't make sense. But, you know, that's when I went to work at Costco. You know, drinking for me got really, really just bad, just regular. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I mean, I was I say it in the book. I mean, I was super high functional alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was good at it, you know, and in this town is such a, we wrote a turd, let's celebrate. We wrote a hit, let's celebrate. You know, yeah. We, yeah. My son's got a soccer game. Let's put something in my cup. You know, it's like, it's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
And so, yeah, but yeah, the getting dropped from Capitol was really the first and the only time in my life I've ever kind of sat in my car by myself and been like,
yeah,
look, if it was just me, I wouldn't even think about it. I would just go pick up my guitar and write a song. But I'm beginning to drag my kids and my wife into situations that they don't, I need to take better care of them, I think, you know, and part of that might be my love for music, you know, my passion for just this whimsical, unconventional occupation, you know, this love for this art could maybe be hurting my family. Like, I don't know if I'm being a better dad by being crazy, or will I be a better dad by showing my kids, man, hey, I can,
what a great question.
I can put this guitar down for you guys, you know, and I really didn't know the answer. You know, I know from the outside, people have all the right answers. But when you're sitting in that Honda, you know, and you know your kid needs shoes, you know, and you're like, but I got this idea, you know, and I don't know, you know, and you feel like you're being selfish, but maybe you're not, you know, and you probably are. It's probably like a foot in both places. But that was some hard times, man. Those Costco mornings just kind of wrestling in my head. You know, what am I being a good dad? That's always a, that's an annoying question. 'Cause most of the time I'm like, I'm not. So it's good that I asked myself that question. So so I could correct, you know, whatever I'm doing. But, yeah, man, you know, when you hold a little baby, I don't know, you just hold your little 2-year-old son's hand, you know, and you just stop for a moment. You're like, wow, man, I had this kid for myself. Like, I was like, let's put an ornament on the tree. That's awesome. It looks just like me. And then you have a kid and you're like, no, that's his life. He didn't pick me.
Dude,
to be
that
his
is
dad,
that
you
is
know?
Something I think about so much. And exactly that. I think this to myself a lot when I'm making decisions about career. You know, my kids shouldn't suffer for my dreams, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's an irresponsible thing for me to look at them in the eyes and be like, look, I know I had a part in bringing you into this earth, but now you have to suffer for things I want to achieve for myself. And, you know, there's seasons for things and there's small sacrifices. That's not what I mean. But I think you said it so well, and even John inferred this a little earlier, but it's like that line of your dream and what you feel called to do, like it's in you. When it rubs up against responsibility and real life and kids who are staring at you, that's such a weird line to walk, because do you want to put down everything and go get the job that pays the bills, but you have kids looking at you every day like that dentist, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, but hey, I'm being responsible. Or do you, you know, you roll the dice every day going, look, I don't know how this is going to go, but I do feel alive and I love what I'm doing, but I don't know what next month's going to look like. You know, it's the responsibility dad part of that is just so tough to navigate.
It is,
you know,
and you know, and what a great segue into our need for a savior. You know, it is just, I tell you what, man, having that, this whole thing you're talking about brings me to my knees, you know, and that is, I mean, that's ultimately what made me figure out maybe I was longing for rescue, you know, because you can't, you, I don't care who you are, man. You can wake up with this manly list and this diligence in your heart. And you can look at parenting as just this thing that you're going to tackle and you're going to do it, man. You know, it's just in us to be like, we're going to do this. I don't care. And then literally by 9:30, I have effed it up so many times. Mm-hmm. And again, parenting is, I'm telling you, marriage is up there on the top five that'll draw you to Christ. But man, looking at your son after you've hurt him in some way or let him down or made him feel not confident or you've been inconsistent, you know, that will bring you to your knees. And you just go, you look at this thing and you go, I love this thing. I love chapel so much that I can't stand it, but I still screw up loving him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you have to just be like, help.
Yes.
Please, please, God, please, God, rescue me from myself. Please rescue my son from me. please rescue my wife from me. Mm-hmm. Good God, please give them mercy for me. And forget, you know.
So what was it like with you know, the questions I want to ask are, when that happens and you have this moment, I mean, which obviously you talk so much about in the book, this conversion moment, this changing moment, you're like, what happens, one, like in your career? Because all of a sudden success is just around the bend, which is really interesting to me, right? Like,
so interesting, yeah.
And then two, with your family, like, because, you know, you've had kids that have grown up with you in two different iterations sort of now, you know? So like, but it's interesting now to be on, you know, this happens and all of a sudden it's like life is, you know, how did it iterate in those two ways in your career and with your family and your wife?
Well, yeah, I mean, my wife just showed me a picture of my son imitating me the week I bought a Bible. You know, I mean, my here's the interesting thing is me as an atheist alcoholic wasn't that much different. I mean, Christ is a huge difference in my life, but we were an American happy dad always drove drunk family. You know, I just hadn't got a DUI. You know, it was like, I loved my kids. I loved my wife. Wow. Completely drunk, poor, whatever. We were happy. We played red light, green light in the La Hacienda parking lot for 2 hours, you know, till the place closed. And so what happened was we lost our seventh child, Oakley. And, you know, I'm telling you, you guys can understand, as a man who's really kind of screwing up everything, like according to the outside, my family, Lanny's family, we are a mess, but we don't care. We can shut those voices down and stay focused on our family and a dream. But when you lose a kid, as a dad who loves his kids furiously, you just feel like a failure. I mean, you just like you have let your wife suffer. You let your other children just suffer. And you've lost the kid. Like, you have not saved that kid's life. And you should be able to do that. You know, I should be able to stop the moving train that's coming at my son or daughter, you know. And so it was just this really just, and again, I don't know, you know, I would have called myself an atheist, but I was screaming at somebody in the backyard, you know.
Wow.
I just felt gross, you know, I believe it was the Holy Spirit kind of giving me an awareness of my shortcoming, like just being able to look in the mirror and see myself, like pretty nasty, you know. I'm pretty, you know, I got some, again, going back to the whole son thing. I love my family. I love my kids. Well, it doesn't look like it. You know, I mean, when we lost Oakley, I was 2 years sober and I drove to a bar in Franklin and I went to this bar just to explode. I was going to find literally the biggest dude in 55 South and just pick a fight and get hammered, pick a fight. And I was like, I don't care if I get beat up or get arrested. I don't care. I'm going to just. And that was the day we buried Oakley, but I ended up not, my wallet wasn't in my door when I got there. So I drove home, and then I told Lainey, I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, she was on the couch crying, and she helped me find an AA meeting, and that was a pivotal moment. But man, I bought a Bible one day. I walked into Barnes and Noble, Dave Barnes and Noble, in Franklin. It's you know where this. Everybody knows where this Barnes.
Yeah.
It was in Cool Springs, and I pulled my hoodie over my head, and I bought this Bible, and I hid it in a bag, and man, I just began to read about all the idiots in the Bible, you know, and then Jesus happens, you know, in the Bible, and the whole Old Testament is kind of pointing towards this, the idiot after idiot after idiot, and then David, the big idiot, but he's after God's heart, you know, and then Jesus happens, and you're like, ah, the dude, the guy, this is
the dude.
This is a guy that you know, all these idiots love God, but they couldn't be right with God, and this is what does it, you know, like this is the rescue. And then I addressed my kids and my wife, and I was like, you know, this is it, you know. And then, you know, obviously Craig, my best friend Craig, has a huge, huge, massive part in this story, because, you know, when I talk about my life, I just want to reiterate, it was so messy. Nobody had a reason to want to be near me. I was we were the family you distance yourself from, you know, alcoholic dad. My car is nasty. We're sharing this car. All we do is have kids, you know, and it doesn't make any sense. And there's no bright future on this earth. You don't look at me and you're like, oh, yeah, that'd be a good dude to have in my phone. I'd love that dude's number. I'm not that guy. But then this guy Craig, he has Christ in him. He sees my mess, and he's like, I'm gonna get nearer that dude. I'm gonna go to that dude's shows. I'm gonna let my kids learn the dirty words to his song. I'm gonna feed him. I'm gonna feed his family. I'm gonna give him the car out of my garage, because me and my wife are gonna pray about it. And I'm going to give him this van, you know, and you know, when that happens to you guys, when you see Christ in a human, a broken, just normal human like that, you'll never be the same. When Christ happens to you, like, you know, you just, and you can't ignore it, you know, and a guy like me got to write a song about it, you know, even though I can't really process, you know, what's going on. But look, I mean, yeah, I mean, and that's, I guess, I'm not a details guy. I don't know, like, the day, I don't know the day that I bought that Bible. I'm a, let's see, COVID was, what, 3 years ago? 19? Was it 19?
Mm-hmm. 20. So, early 20.
Early 20, okay. So I'm a three and
tell
a half.
Tell me how you have a lot of, tell me that you have a lot of kids without telling me.
I know, right? Good. Yeah. Dude, but I'm a 3.5-year-old believer, and look, I'm not perfect, man. I just need Christ more and more every day. You know, that's what that looks like. You know, I think.
So what does your family look like after that happened? Like what starts to happen? Like what, like with your kids, with your wife, what does that start to look like then?
So, you know, that was, I started by telling you this, that picture, you know, that my wife, it was funny, before then my kids would walk around the yard and spit all the time, because I was alcoholic, and I always had a can of dip in my back pocket. And then literally a week later, my son's at the counter with his Bible and his head in his hand, and he's being like, dad, you know? And, no, you know, Lainey and I, obviously, we began the process by attending a church called Redeeming Grace. I'm still not like, I think man can mess up like the experience of church, you know. So I'm like the song says, I still haven't figured out church, but I'm a huge fan of a community of believers. And then also, you know, just, you know, diving into the word, we moved next door to Craig, over COVID. And so we did COVID together. And so, you know, my kids, I grew up in a Southern Baptist home. And so we kind of go about the, just the word religion is not a popular word in my house. You know, that's not what we are. We're not religious. I'm not all about the ritual, you know, side of things. I think those can become very appointmental and easy.
Wow.
Easy prideful play. You know, it's easy to get dressed right up and look good and, you know, turn a religious gathering into a badge. You know, I do that. Yeah. And I'm not saying everybody else does that. I'm just saying, you know, Dave, you got to understand. I know you understand this. Like, I'm weird about singing in church. I'm like, you know, in public, I'm always like, dude's listening. He knows I just hammered that note. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's the grossest thing ever, you know?
Right.
John and I both feel that way. We're both kind of like a little tentative.
It's insane. Yeah, you walk in, you're like, dude, sit around me because I'm going to freaking belt these things, you know? And but I don't know, man. I mean, we just, Lainey and I, you know, it's changed our marriage. You know, one of the best things for my marriage is just that realization, you know, what Christ does for us as individuals, you know, knowing our nasty and just, and trying to comprehend why he would just take all that, you know, and for us, knowing how just how big of an idiot I am, you know, and then it kind of doesn't give you the right to have expectations that maybe you did for the people you love, you know, and gives you mercy. And it's not me being Walker the Merciful, you know, it's Christ in me, you know. And
are they old enough to have seen this? Like, are they, like, do you have any that are old enough that they're like, man, I remember like 3 or 4 years ago, dad, and I really know this dad? Or are they still?
Oh, we call them the big three are 17, 14, and 12.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. 17, 16, and 14. And that's Leela, Chapel, and Baylor. And they have seen it all. I mean, you know, they've gone to every nasty show. You know, they've seen not famous dad, like literally dad stocking strawberries facing label execs that used to work with me. You know what I mean? They've seen alcoholic dad. They've seen just sober dad. They've seen high on sobriety dad. They've seen almost go back to rehab dad. They've seen atheist dad, don't talk about Jesus. Mom will tell you one thing, I'm gonna tell you the other thing dad. And now they've seen they've seen I was wrong, you know, I do need a savior dad. And so, you know, I think who knows, you know, I think every kid's gonna need to go to therapy at some point in their life. But I do think my older kids, they have a really special awareness to the brokenness this side of heaven, and with losing, they're near death. You know, they've seen a dead baby, you know, that was their sibling, and they've buried a child. So they're not, they don't wake up every day with this, like, life is forever, we want to stay here forever. You know, we all talk about how life quickly makes you long for heaven. You know, I don't want to sound like morbid or scare anybody here, but this place is tiring. You know, it's not enough. And that's the point, I think, you know, is that my eternal life began, in Christ, you know, when I met Christ and life's, and again, you know, you get, what's interesting, guys, is fame and millions of dollars have also taught us that, because it is a big letdown, you know.
So that's the thing that that's the other part of this that fascinates me, man, is like, isn't it interesting that you didn't have that level of success? Because, you know, you'd had some success, but that level of success until after this happens in your life.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's a this massive song, and everything that you had come to Nashville is now happening.
Yeah.
But it's happening to a new iteration.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is the most If you were like, hey, what's one of the most peaceful places on this earth you've been? It would have been when I had just become a believer. I was probably in my second time through the Bible, you know, just diving in the Word. COVID had ripped music out for money. You know, I could not even support my family making music. And we had just lost Oakley. We had just lost a kid. But man, we thrived right then. And then all this affirmation and this big hit came after that. Mm-hmm. And man, it tested. I mean, it tested my marriage. It tested me. Mm-hmm. It all of a sudden, you know, my hands were outstretched, just in complete, utter just reliance on the Lord. And then my hands got filled with the world, you know, and then I began to feel my grip tighten, and all of a sudden be like, this feels good. I need more. And as I needed more and I began to cling to it, I began to destroy, you know, my marriage, and I began to neglect my kids again. And I was like, you're like that genie in Aladdin, you know, and you're like, I'm the most powerful being. And then honestly, like I said, it was a great test, because when you get in your car, you know, as a dad, and you're sitting in the driveway, and you have all your dreams come true, and you never have to worry about money again, you still feel empty. And you're just like, and then you look at God, and you know he's laughing. He's like, I know. He's like, I know, man. I know. And he's like, oh, I freaking love you. That's funny, right? You did that thing where you went out, and you did that thing, and now what do? You need me more. And it's like, got you. He's like, I got hugs for days, and I'm here. Yeah. And he's like, I want you to tell everybody this. And, you know, and it's just, and it's okay. You know,
was there a point in that process where you felt that especially acutely, like where it was like you have your first, like, oh boy, first couple checks and okay. And you can feel like the, you know, I call it the Gollum, you know, your back starts to hunch and you're like, my pretty, you're like, you know, your voice gets higher, you know, but at some point you have a point where you're like, oh, like you said, like, oh boy, okay, I need to undo this thing. Like, was there a moment where you're kind of like, oh, I feel it happening.
Yeah. And it doesn't, that's a great, nobody's ever asked me this question. That's awesome. And I'll tell you when it was, man, is we're at the Grammys and I'll tell you this, man, I'll tell you what I've struggled with is making Jesus Christ my brand, you know, or because we're sitting at the Grammys and we're about to go in and, you know, like, I'm in some suit that I don't belong in, you know, some girl, you know, Rob's wife, my manager's wife, God bless her. She's a stylist and she cares about clothes. And I'm like, dude, hate clothes. Like, but I'm in this suit and Lainey looks like $1 million, you know? And I'm like, gather around everybody, you know, let us pray. I'm just going to pray for us at the Grant. And it's such a douche mood. Like, I don't know why, like, you know, it's not a douche move. The act of praying, like, it's not a douchey move, but that. I'm being a douche right now. And so I get around and I'm like, and I feel like I meant it. You know, I feel like I wanted this to be true, but I was like, win or lose, God, I just love you, you know? Mm. And And I don't know, you know, I just didn't mean it. You know, I don't know, I was performing or something. I don't know. Look, whatever. I just...
It's hard to pray in a really nice suit. Everybody knows that.
Right. The more nicer the suit, the more BS it is.
The prayer doesn't go as high.
Yeah. So, but it just was, I don't know. Like I said, man, I was just performing. I was just doing the thing. And you know, the Grammy thing comes up. And we're just high, man. You know, I'm right. I can't get nothing can wrong can happen. Like every song I drop, it's like, and then we lose the Grammy, and I literally go from, hey, win or lose, God,
yeah,
you are all that matters. And then they say Chris Stapleton's name, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I just am like, I'm like, this is bullshit. And
you're throwing Molotov cocktails around the
dude. I rip the suit. I tear the clothes off. We leave, you know, Rob sad. My whole team, you know, look, we've lost a lot. You know, I mean, I've lost a lot in life. I have. I'm so accustomed to losing. But this one stung, you know, because we were just close to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grammy. You know, I'm a Grammy. And then Lainey.
Can I just say, as a side note here, real quick, as the only person in this conversation not Grammy nominated, I want to say from the outside, it doesn't even matter. To me, I'm like, people just see the word Grammy. They don't hear winner or nominee. It's just to me, I'm like, if I ever got there, I'd be like, well, you're already there. You already won by being nominated. But it's interesting hearing people who were like, well, we lost the Grammy. To the rest of the world, it's like, I guess one of you has to technically win. But it's like,
Well,
Grammy nominated.
Look, this is a great, this story is a great example of how, I mean, my one of my superpowers is my insecurity, 100%. It's just, you don't even notice that, but that's all I noticed is I didn't win. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, that's something that Jesus that Jesus is healing and divorcing me from that stuff. That's a great thing about sanctification and just knowing the Lord is that stuff begins to not matter. And you think of yourself less. You start wondering, how does my buddy Dave Barnesfield, did he win a Grammy? You know, and you're like, oh, I'm thinking about somebody
he
else.
By the way, he did not.
But we go to, Lainey and I go to, we go to eat that night. And then the prayers became real because it became like we began to take inventory in the middle of, I can't remember what restaurant. It was probably like, it was just a chain restaurant in Vegas or wherever we were, you know. And we just held hands at that table, man. And we just poured out the grossness, you know, just that, like, why does this hurt so much? Like, this Grammys can't take my soul. It can't take my salvation. It can't, you know, it can't take me from you. It can't separate me from the almighty maker of all, you know, and so that was a really precious moment. It was a nasty day, but it was a great lesson. But Dave, you know, to answer your question, you know, that was the day where it was like, I have let the world, I'm in the desert, and the devil was like, you can have the world. And I was like, give it up, I'll take it, you know.
Yeah,
you know? He's like, let me finish the sentence first.
I was like, give it to me. Give me the Applebee's gold card. I want it all. I'm serious, you know. And it was like, you know, honestly, it like reminds me of Peter, you know, when Jesus was like, he was like, I will never deny you. And then rooster crows. Right. And he's like, oh, right. My bad, bro.
I won't do it two more times. That was the only one.
Yes, the girl.
Well, any time that I see somebody, one of our friends, start having like meteoric success, even if it's just like one, you know, they put a video out or something like that and something catches fire and goes viral, I always think about the next video. You know, because it's like you want to enjoy whatever little successes that we have in this music business in 2023. I mean, it's all lightning in a bottle. But that next post that doesn't get what that one got. It's I mean, it's that the come down off of it is so, it's like a reminder, like you're saying, it's like you have your thoughts on how you would hypothetically handle some situation of success.
Right.
And
right.
then the day after the success, that's when like the true colors come out.
Sure.
And I wanted to, like, given your success and how it came about, your explosion on TikTok, and given that you have a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old and a 14, all these kids, what's the relationship like? What's your relationship like with social media, and how do you kind of police that with your kids?
So none of my kids have it. You know, you make fun of us, whatever. I just don't. Look,
families like you guys.
Yeah. Well, look, I just know I am a grown man, and it affects me in ways mm-hmm. that I don't think the world would assume. You know, I like the thing you just described. You know, it's look, I'm just disclosing here. It is weird to me that a 43-year-old man will sit on a toilet till my legs fall asleep looking for goodness on Instagram or reading comments that people say about my last trick shot or like that to me. Again, that's a moment where I think God looks at me and is just like, man, I love you. I just love you so much. Like,
look at this guy.
I know. He's, you know, it's like me looking at my son picking his nose and eating his booger. It's like, I love you. I freaking love that. You're my boy, you know? Yeah. And it's just, and so look, all I'm trying to say is I know that socials are it's no laughing matter. It can destroy a marriage, you know, sitting there mm-hmm. Feeding off that, you know, what it puts into my brain is rarely good. Even when I think I'm using it, when I say the word platform, it grosses me out. You know, I mm-hmm. believe that God wants me to remove myself from that concept altogether. Like, it's not about how big my stage is. Mm. Like, literally, if God wants to stick me on top of a mountain and say something, he will. Mm-hmm. But that's not how I don't look at my thing and go, God, you've given me 1.1 million followers and you would love me to impart this. No, God would love me just to walk down the street and talk to my neighbor, you know, and so I guess all what I'm trying to say is to me, socials, they're tough, and I try to do this. I don't do this all the time, but Ray Ortland is a pastor that I don't know him, but he's a mentor of mine, if that makes any sense. But he described social. I really love following him, and it just seems loving. I just like what he puts out there, but. He described one day that he sees socials as like on the other side of this statement, there's someone who wants to end their life. How do I keep them here for a few more minutes? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to raise above that. You know, I don't want to show another artist. Look how big my crowd was tonight, even though I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying. I don't want to belittle someone and I don't want to bring him down. You know, I just want to say, hey, I'm here too. You here? Okay. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's an interesting way. Yes. And, but as far as my kids, man, I try to keep them away. You know, my daughter's about to be 18 and she can do, you know, to me, that's the age of, it's all you, bro. Yeah. I mean, you can go invent another social platform if you want to, but I try to teach my kids kind of how vicious it is. And
did she have any, you know, John and I were talking before we had you on, you know, cause what's so sweet about what I love about and I hate this word. I hate this word as much as I hate the word platform, because I'm with you. But the brand, the Walker Hayes brand, like the thing that I love so much about it that's so compelling is how much your kids are a part of it. That like,
oh yeah,
this isn't, you know, it's like, you're a very good looking dude. You could get on there and do cool stuff and rack up, you know, sing your songs and have it be this thing where it's like, you know, you could do that. But instead, you know, the dance was with your girl. This dance is with your kid. It's like, it's very not check me out, I'm cool and sexy. It's so much like this is a familial fun thing.
Right.
So did she, like with the kids, like, and especially with her, what did she like? Cause I mean, you know, that thing was, it popped off.
Big.
I mean, it was a big, 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 right?
Yeah.
And it's not just the song, which also popped off massively. It like their faces associated with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did mm-hmm. she, was there anything she had to walk through with that? Or was there anything that was like tricky with, and I'm sure it's cool because she's rocking up to school and everybody's like, oh, you know, like, but which is fun. But you know, that, to your point, that can have a scorpion tail on it too.
Oh, totally. No. We've had to walk, you know, so Lila dances in the show. Like she dances with three other pros, and she had to work really hard, you know, to kind of catch up to their level. But obviously she got the opportunity because of who she is, but she's worked really hard. You know, all of us, including Lila especially, have had to fight that thing that goes to your head. You know what I mean? Because we literally went from, we go to Chick-fil-A and we're the annoying people. We're kind of loud. There's nuggets everywhere. The mess we leave is crazy. My youngest daughter probably has a snotty nose and she's on the playground, you know, with your kid and you're going to get it. And it's like, so now we walk into a Chick-fil-A and it's like, it's a meet and greet. And so we've had to navigate
that's
that.
M-E-A-T for those who are listening.
But you know, but we, but you know, together we have walked, we've really walked through all this and that's a battle. Like that's a blessing and a curse. Like my family, we could probably do a follow doc, you know, that people would watch. They would just watch our family. And I don't know. I don't know if that's healthy or not healthy. But as it pertains to Lila, you guys, I'm really honest with Lila. I mean, she's seen it all anyway. So, I don't see that as me stealing her innocence or whatever, but you know, I've shown her like, hey, this is how bad it can get as far as feedback. You know, the things that you can see online, this is the good stuff and both of them are illness. You don't want to buy into the hype and you don't want to listen to the negativity. You know, and so I'm trying to prepare her for socials and stuff. But honestly, Lila has walked through this better than I have. I mean, she's in cosmetology school. She's become aware of like, you know, hey, this relationship, I'm pretty sure it began because of who I am, but it doesn't have to stay that way. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of happened too. She's quite a, introvert, you know, she and I are a lot alike. We could tap out on social time, you know, but honestly, I think it has made my kids, it's given them honestly kind of a holy spiritual awareness of just kind of how the world works, you know. I mean, again, they saw the way people looked at our family and the way people look at our family now, and they know it's because of a silly song. And so I think they're kind of like, that's weird, you know?
Yeah.
I love my in-laws. And we have been through a lot together. And it sounds like I'm about to say something bad about them.
I was ready.
But look, they see us differently now. And I have discussed this with them. You know, you realize your love is conditionally based on this Applebee's song. That's weird, right? Like all of a sudden I was literally spawn of Satan, son-in-law you never want. And then I write an Applebee's song. And now the first thing you say when you meet someone is, guess who my son-in-law is?
Yeah.
You know, and that's weird. And you know what? I do that too.
Yeah,
I do that too to people. And and so, boom, what a nice shot of like, oh, humanity's broken. Nice. Yeah. I needed a reminder. Yeah. That's right. You know, does that make any sense?
But
Leela is
totally.
Leela is psychologically, I feel like Leela is so much more mature after all that she has seen, you know? And and sometimes I feel, I'm like, did you have to grow up too fast? You know, because you had me as a dad, you know, like I was just kind of all like, I'm another kid in the house most of the time. You know, I'm like, is that going to damage you later? But
she's like you said, I mean, we're damaging our kids.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking earlier when you were talking about your, you know, your journey to faith. I feel like when, you know, I think it's all kids go through when they leave the house and they go off to whatever they're doing. We all experience some period where we take ownership of, you know, maybe we grew up with our parents' religion or our parents' faith or whatever. And then you go through whatever that looks like, whether it's like running the complete other way or whatever. You got to like take your ownership of like, what's your faith?
Yeah, sorry. And I think, somebody called. I don't know what's going on. I heard you, but you were saying take back. Ownership.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, and I think that when your kids go through that, I think it's a gift that you've given them that they have got this up close and personal, really honest example of somebody coming to faith, you know, through the ways that you went through it.
Well,
I think that's going to be a gift to them.
Oh, no doubt.
Through that
no
journey.
No doubt. No, and what a grace too. I mean, I've been thinking as you talk, like what a insane grace of God to call you to himself before this success. Because I mean, this for anybody, I don't care who you are, what you've walked through is just so, it's really amazing. And so it's like, you know, even the most screwed on heads,
bro,
it's going to be like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Bro,
you know,
much less
someone who's already walking through, you know, what you're walking through.
So heads, many gold teeth, you know? Right now, like, and, you know, I probably have kids all over the place, you know, I wouldn't even know my kid, but man, you're exactly, well, hey, nothing wrong with hot tubs and gold teeth.
I'm
just saying that's where I would.
Gold teeth all over the place.
Look, I'm just, you're exactly.
I was going to say, man, shout out to the hot tubs and gold teeth.
You know? Right.
I can see the merch now.
That's a huge part of our.
No, I was going to say, actually. Big demo.
I am grateful for what I've seen my kids see. You know, I feel like they have, I feel like they have not grown up in, hey, let's pretty this picture up. Said. Let's just see humanity for what it is and go, geez, man, thank God there's a rescue for, and it's not from, it's not from these bad people over here. These people, these people with gold teeth and hot tubs, you know, it's just, it's rescue from right here. You know, it's from myself. And, because I think that's ourselves, one thing that is a gift, you know, that my, I mean, I tell my kids all, Leela's at an incredible age where I have to continually go, she wants my opinion, you know, with college or with a boyfriend or whatever. And I go, you know, I could easily answer you, but my opinion is going to be manipulative. It can't not be. I sadly have an idea of where I would like you to go, but I want you just to figure, just to do it. Cause it,
Well, dude, is there any greater compliment to parenting? I mean, that she, for what she's seen in you and what she's seen in you after conversion, all the things that God is doing in your life now, that she would come. If you want to know how you're parenting, it's that your daughter comes to you and asks for your opinion. I mean, that's a great litmus paper test. You know what I mean? It's not, she's not rolling her eyes like, oh boy, dad's going to have a hot take on this. She's coming to you. I mean, that's a huge compliment, man. That says so much about
And going you know, back to what you said about the dance, parenting. Man, I mean, she and I have already talked about it. I'm like, I tell Leela, man, I'm like, Lord willing, we're at a hospital one day and a baby comes out of you and I get to hold it and I get to look at you and then look at your baby. I'm going to lose my freaking mind. And then I'm like, and then if it grows up, and Lord willing, we teach it that stupid dance. It's going to be, I'm like, I'm going to erupt. I might actually have a heart attack with joy and be like, I can't believe we made it to this. You know, and then I'm like, dude, if I'm alive and he or she gets married and we do it at the freaking wedding, I'm like, can you imagine? I know. I'm like, I know. I'm like, who
game
gets
you will
to
evaporate.
Do that with their daughter? You know, I mean, and I do, man. I'm telling you, I look at her.
Yeah,
10 or 12 times at least a night on stage. And I just, the crowd might as well not be there. I'm just like, man, I am standing at this Idaho State Fair, you know, with my daughter just being an idiot on stage. And I'm getting paid to freaking do it. And we're, you know, if I die tonight, this is badass. Like, this is just bad. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah, it's the best.
Man, I love it. You, I appreciate you guys.
Well, dude, listen, we have taken so much of your time. This is so fun. We have a, I know because you got somebody right now that's just like,
let's
hey,
go.
We have this course. We got to finish this thing. Okay, so speed round. This is how we're in this thing. Okay, buckle up because here we go. Here we go. I'm going to go first.
Craig,
the whole world
Craig,
could stop
crank up
and listen
Craig.
To one of your songs.
Yeah, dude.
Which song would it be?
Craig.
Dang, you were ready. You've done the speed round before. All right,
this couldn't is even
speed
finish
round.
It.
We were prepared
yeah.
for the speed.
We were ill prepared for the speed ourselves.
Second question. If you had to pick, this one's going to be tougher, I guarantee. If you had to pick one facial hair configuration for the rest of your life, what would it be? You got to go with the mustache, you got to go with the beard,
Fu
you got to go with the Fu Manchu, whatever.
I think based on maintenance, from what I've learned, just what requires the least upkeep is just shave it all. The beard, the beard gets out of hand and clean the, you know, and the mustache, golly, it's like, gotta be really meticulous. And then you accidentally nip one side and you gotta nip
the other.
The other
one in before you know
it's crazy.
Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, third question, and there's four. If you had to pick another decade, I love this question. If you had to pick another decade in the last 100 years to live as a musician, which decade would you choose?
I mean, that's easy. I mean, I think 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I think 90s for two reasons. One, I just love, like, it's probably just because I was at that magic age, but like the alt, Verb Pipe, Sister Hazel, Matchbox 20, like that rock scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, holy smokes, man.
Yeah,
like,
it was happening.
God, it's just, it was so cool. And then also, dude, I feel like you could have an album cut and feed your family on a 90s record. Yeah, like a country song. Yeah. And so I think for those two reasons,
That's
picked
good.
The
that's,
night. Yeah.
Well done. Well
that's a good answer. Last question here. If you wrote a book about being a dad, what would the title be?
Have mercy on your soul. You know, God, I mean, it'd be like something like you're about to screw it all up. it'd be like, it would be something to the effect like you're about to, and like everything you think you know about being a dad. You don't. I don't know.
That's a great title. That is a great title.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
that is a great title. Everything you think you know about being a dad, you don't.
I'd read that book. Either. I'd read that book right now.
Yeah, right. I like the end, and I don't either. And then it's just a blank book. It's got a sick cover, but it's like then there's maybe a line that's like, write all your screw ups in here. You know?
That's amazing.
It's just a journal.
It is.
Thank
man.
You so much for your time. What a joy to
this
be with
is
you.
Great.
So
y'all,
love what you're doing
awesome.
In the world. It's beautiful.
Hey, back
stuff,
at
man.
You. It's really, this really was cool. I'm not just saying that. So thanks for hanging and let me talk about real stuff. And
we loved it.
And let's do it again sometime. Sounds good.
Enemies can come together after all. It's beautiful.
Come on. There we go. I'll have to tell 100 people. I finally
enough.
Got to kick
I met him. We did the podcast.
I know.